All right, we can go ahead and get started. It is almost 1:05, which is generally when we start. It's good to be back after one. Did I say 1:05? And 9:05. Yeah. You guys are really early or really late, depending on which 1:05 we're talking about. Well, it's good to be back. I was on vacation the last 2 weeks. It's a good time of rest and relaxation, as much as that can happen when you have 4 kids. Usually a vacation is just, you do the same thing you do here, just in a different location when you have 4 kids. So, but it was good. We appreciated the time away. So, wanted to start a new series this week, and Shane actually gave me this idea. I appreciate it. I'm going to be talking about, over the next several weeks, the one another's. There are many statements throughout the Bible. It talks about one another and how we should treat one another as a church, and it's kind of appropriate that we do this, since today we are talking about covenant membership in the worship service. So I think it is appropriate that we do so. Let me start by reading a passage in John chapter 13. This is just to kind of set the setting. This is Jesus and the disciples at the Passover. This is just before he's getting ready to go to the cross. He tells John, who is getting ready to betray him. And then in verse 31, he gives a new commandment, and that's where I'm going to start. John 13, verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So what is Jesus saying in this passage? He's giving a commandment, obviously, right? This is a new commandment that I give to you. And what is he saying that we are to do? To love one another, right? We are to love one another just as he has loved them or us, right? So he's set an example of how we are to love one another. And what will this show everyone? This will show that we are his disciples. What is the purpose? What is our purpose? Just our purpose as Christians. What is our purpose? Shane's going to cover this, I think, in his sermon today. But what is our purpose as individual Christians? This is a catechism question that you start off with your children. Yeah, it's a... Every dog's purpose. I think it's probably different. Yeah, every Christian's purpose. It's going to be different than every dog's purpose. What? Come on, say it. Somebody say it. To glorify God, right? To glorify God, and Jesus talks about that in this passage here. Our purpose is to glorify God in everything that we do. So what is our purpose as a church then? It's to glorify God, right? And it's to glorify God in how we, fundamentally, we do that in the way that we love one another, right? The way that we love one another, the way that we treat one another is, the purpose of that is to glorify God. And so the way we treat one another should glorify God. So let's define a couple of terms before we get into that. What is a church? What is a church? Just generally, what is a church?
It's a body of believers coming together and worshiping.
That's great. It's a body of believers coming together to worship God, right? It's a local assembly, right? It's a local, it should be local. There's a global church, obviously, but we're talking about local here. It's a local assembly of believers in one place who has chosen to covenant to one another and love one another in a way that the Bible tells us to, right? And we're going to be talking about that this morning in the worship service, about covenanting together. And we're going to sign a church covenant. I don't know if you've read the church covenant. If not, you will this morning. You better have, because you filled out an application that said that you did. So I want to read that this morning. This is our church covenant. This is our Redeemer church covenant. Having, as we trust, been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and give up ourselves to Him, and having been baptized upon our profession of faith in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on His grace, gracious aid, solemnly and joyfully establish our covenant with each other. We will walk together in brotherly love, as becomes the members of a Christian church, exercise an affectionate care and watchfulness over each other, and faithfully admonish and plead with one another as occasion may require. So you see one another's in there, right? There's some things that we are going to do for one another. We are going to love one another, right? We are going to exercise affectionate care and watchfulness over each other. We are going to faithfully admonish and plead with one another as occasion may require. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, not neglect to pray for ourselves and others, right? So we're going to pray for one another. We are going to assemble together for the purpose of worship and care for one another. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, we're going to have peace with one another. And again, we're going to pray for one another, pray for unity. We will endeavor to bring up those under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family, friends, and neighbors. We will rejoice at each other's happiness and endeavor with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows. Again, we're going to care for one another. We are going to sympathize with one another. We're going to encourage one another. We will seek by divine aid to live carefully in the world, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and remembering that as we have been voluntarily buried by baptism and raised again from the symbolic grave, so there is on us a special necessity now to lead a new and holy life. And so we're going to encourage one another to do that. There's church discipline involved in that. We will work together with the continuance of a faithful evangelical ministry in this church as we sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We will, when we move from this place as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. If there is no such church, we shall seek with the Lord's help to establish one. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit sustain and hold us in all these things. So that is our church covenant. That is what we will be signing this morning. What is a church covenant? I just read that to you, but what is a church covenant? Okay, yeah. Okay, very good. You give an oath to do something in within the church. It's good. Now, she's showing you up, guys, so you guys, what else? What church covenant. What is a church covenant? Any other thoughts?
Agreement between church members.
Yeah, it's an agreement between church members, right?
Commitment.
It's a commitment.
Promise.
It's a promise. Commitment to God, you said? So, absolutely. Commitment to God and a commitment to each other. It's an agreement. It's voluntary, right? It's a voluntary statement of agreement, meaning you choose to not agree with that. You can and should walk away, right? Go elsewhere. It's voluntary. It's a church covenant. It's a voluntary statement of agreement about what? About how we are going to care for one another, right? How are we going to love one another? How are we going to do that in the way that the Bible tells us to, right? It's not something that we came up with on our own, though the Bible doesn't specifically say that we have to have a church covenant. It doesn't give an example of a church covenant, right? There's nothing in the in any of the Gospels that says when you establish a church, here's what your covenant should look like, right? It doesn't specifically say that. So how do we formulate a covenant? How do we formulate a church covenant? How do we come up with a church covenant? How do we go about drafting one?
Google.
Besides Google, Google and looking at other churches, which is fine, right? There are lots of church covenants out there, and we're not going to reinvent the wheel. We're not going to come up with anything new at this point, right? So that is fine, but how did the church globally come up with a church covenant? How did they formulate that? Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So they go to Scripture, right? We go to Scripture. We go to the New Testament, the establishing of the church. We read Jesus' statements on how we should treat one another, right? Paul's statements on how we should treat one another, right? He wrote many letters to many churches and gave instruction on how we should love and care for one another. And so that's how we formulated church covenant, as we go through those statements. And that's my introduction to the one another's. We look at the one another's. How are we to treat one another? And we come up with a church covenant, right? And big one, one we hear over and over, is we are to love one another. We are to love one another. And we're to love one another differently than the world loves one another, right? The church is to love one another differently than the world loves one another. What does that encompass? What does loving one another encompass? What does that look like within the church, right? Because, again, it looks differently than what the world looks like. The world might look at the way we're loving one another and say, that doesn't look like love to us, right? Doesn't look like love to us.
I mean, it's stated in there, right, that you would commit to be with each other, like to be in community with each other.
Yeah.
And you're doing that and see needs and help fill those needs where they're at. You see areas that need discipline.
Right. So discipline is love, right?
Yeah.
Discipline is love. Why? Why is discipline love? Yeah, you want the best for them, right? That's how we should do discipline, right? This is how we should do discipline with our kids. We shouldn't do discipline with our kids because they annoyed us or frustrated us or embarrassed us in public. We should discipline them because we want their good, right? We want God's best for them. We are concerned about their hearts, not behavior modification. And so that's why we should discipline, is because we want their best. We want God's best for them. And the same in the church, right? We shouldn't be doing it for a selfish gain. We should be doing it because we want God's best for them, right? So when we sign a commitment, we have a burden or an obligation to love one another, to spur one another on to good deeds, to be accountable to one another. How do we do this? What are some major reasons that we would do that? We talked about discipline, right? So when someone is off track, they've got clear sin in their lives. One way that we love one another, and one way that we are committing to love one another, and by signing a church covenant, is to correct that brother lovingly, graciously, right? Not coercing them, right, or guilting them into changing or to dealing with the sin in our lives. That's not the purpose of it. We should do it humbly. We should do it after examining our own lives, right? We should not be happy about doing it, right? It should hurt us a little bit, right? Same with our children, right? We shouldn't be happy about spanking our children, right? So that's one reason. When there's clear sin in a brother or sister's life, we should love them enough to to do church discipline? What are some other reasons or other ways that we love one another? Looking for major categories here. So clear sin is one.
When there's pain,
right? When someone's hurting, right? When someone is hurting, we should, when someone's scared for whatever reason, you know, maybe job situation, an illness that they're facing, just depression, when they're hurting in those ways, we as a church have a burden or an obligation to love them in a way that takes their eyes and focus off of that fear or hurt or pain and turn their eyes towards Jesus, right? We're to encourage them. What are some other reasons? One other reason. Serve one another? Right.
Using your gifts.
Right. We're to serve one another sacrificially using using our gifts, right? So Jesus gave us an example of that. In fact, going back to John 13 and in the context there, again, he's getting ready to go to the cross, which is obviously a way that he is serving us, right? He's getting ready to die and take on God's wrath for our for us. But what else does he do in this chapter that shows the symbolic of his why he came as and how he came as a servant? What's he do?
Washes
their feet, right? So we are to do that as the church to one another. Is we're to serve? Are we doing that today? Are we actually physically doing it? I don't think we're doing that today. So that's another way, right? We come as servants, humble servants, to serve one another, put others' needs above our own, right? Weakness, right? When a brother is weak, this could be spiritually or physically, right? Could be suffering illness or think of elderly widows, right? Churches to care for those folks when they're physically weak. Spiritually weak, what does that look like? Spiritually weak. It's discipleship, right? Right? It's discipleship. So this is different than clear sin in someone's life. It's weakness spiritually, right? They need, they're spiritually immature, right?
I think it's helpful that we don't see weakness as just like, we don't look down on someone because they're weaker.
Right, because we were there, right? And we probably are there in certain areas, right? We're all weak in certain areas. And that's as a body of believers that have covenanted with one another, that's a way that we need to love one another. And that's what discipleship looks like, right? It's not, I know more than you. It's we come alongside each other and we sharpen each other, right? Iron sharpens iron. And that's what it could also look like, you know, maybe something is preventing, maybe a brother or sister is letting something come between them and us coming to church every Sunday, right? Maybe they're every little thing that comes up, they blow off church. It becomes more important than church, right? Those are things that we need to come alongside them and help them in those areas and confront them lovingly in those areas, right? That's maybe different than obvious sin in one's life. So those are some major categories, right? In ways that we can love one another and ways that we should be loving one another within a church covenant. When someone is hurting, when someone is weak either physically or spiritually, and when there's obvious sin in brother's life. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do that practically? What are some, I'm asking multiple questions here, but how do we do that practically? And what are some instructions or what are some one another statements in the Bible that you can think of that address these areas? Think of Matthew 18, right? That talks about church discipline and how we go about doing that. So that's one. We look again at Jesus' example here in John 13, being a servant and putting others' needs above his own. How else? What are some other statements that you can think of? Well, I happen to have a list here, so we can go through them. We won't get too into detail. In future, we'll go into detail and with these. But John 15, 9 through 10, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do we love one another? First, we got to personally abide in him, right, so that we can love one another. Romans 12, 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor, right? We're outdoing one another in how we... Yeah, outdo. Yeah. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. So we're to live in, shows we're to pursue unity, right, with one another, live in harmony with one another. Romans 14, 13, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. That might require setting aside freedom in Christ for the sake of your weaker brother, right? We see that in 2 Corinthians, right? Similar to that. Romans 15, 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another, right? We're to instruct one another. This is discipleship. We are to come along one another and instruct one another in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. That helps unity when we're caring for one another, when we're trying to outdo one another in caring for one another. That's going to foster unity. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, or to serve one another. Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, right? Caring for those that are hurting, and so fulfill the law in Christ, of Christ. Ephesians 4, 2 through 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. How are we to do this? With humility and gentleness, with patience, right? We bear with one another. Ephesians 4, 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Four more here. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So you can kind of see those, you can kind of see where our covenant that I read earlier comes from, right? This comes from Scripture. So how are we to do that? How are we to know, in order to do this, in order to love one another this way, that we are able to address obvious sin, or to see that a brother is weak physically or spiritually, or to see that someone is hurting, it's going to require us to do something so that we can see that. How do we do that? How are we going to know?
We're doing life with, right, one
Right. Absolutely. So it's going to require us to do life with one another outside of church. So we're going to have relationships, right? We're going to have to build relationships. And those relationships are going to have to be honest, right? Right? They're going to have to be honest and transparent. You're going to have to share your stuff with one another, right? In order for that to happen. How else? Submission to God first, right? Yeah, they talked about that in John 15:9-10, right? You got to abide in Christ so that God can reveal the sin in your life, right? You can address that, and then God can continue to change your heart, and that's the only way you're going to be able to put others' needs above your own is if God changes our hearts in that way, because we're not bent to do that, right? Right.
And I think that's so countercultural. Like, just that we are not our own, but that we are belong to each other in Christ, in a sense, right?
Right. That is not what our culture values, right? They do not value submitting to anything, right? You are your own. You're individual. It's individualism, right? I am who I am, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps and... that sort of thing. So this is definitely counterculture. So we're honest and transparent with one another. We have those types of relationships. We, in humility, are open to struggling people, right? Need to be open to struggling people. In order to help struggling people, we have to show that we struggle as well, right? That we also need help, right? If we look like we never need help, people probably aren't going to want to be honest and open with us, right? If we make it look like we've got it all together. In order to be open to struggling people, to be transparent and honest, that's going to be inconvenient. It's going to take some time. We might be wanting to do other things. It's going to take time to build that type of relationship. What else? How are we going to be able to love one another? And we're talking about how are we going to know when people need encouragement or need correction or need us to come alongside them and build them up. We're gonna know that by building relationships. So, build relationships that with people who are not like us, right? Right. So Dirk and I are very similar in many ways, right? We love sports. We're around the same age. We have young children. If Dirk and I just hung around people that were just like us all the time, what's the problem with that? Everything. we probably means that we struggle with some of the same things, right? And we might not be able to see that in each other's lives, right? So if we have relationships with folks that are older than us, right, or further along in life, what's that going to do? It's going to help us. They're going to be able to give us a lot of wisdom. They're going to be able to see danger in our lives that we can't see because they're further along, maybe made the same mistakes and are able to point that out. So having relationships with those that are different than us, right? Age, be helpful.
That is also the example that Christ modeled for us.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Build relationships that are characterized by encouragement, right? And we do that with gentleness and care. Right. Definitely. Yeah. We need, right. definitely. Any other thoughts, comments about this topic? In the coming weeks. Definitely gets messy. Love is messy.
It's not always going to be smooth as clear waters.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Think of that in a marriage relationship, right? It's not all smooth waters. Usually that honeymoon wears off pretty quick in a marriage, and it gets messy at times, right? So any other thoughts or comments? We will, in the coming weeks, unpack these specific statements in the Bible further. So,
I mean, in our context, too, I think it's encouraging. You said locally, but also like Second Baptist.
Yeah. Coming, you know? Yeah. That's loving one another.
Heart that God brings in your life. It's not easy for them to come here. But
right. Yeah, yeah. We appreciate it. It's an encouraging. It's an encouragement to us, for sure. So, well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for our time together this morning. Grateful for your word that instructs us and encourages us and shows us example of Jesus and how we are to serve one another. We are grateful for that. We're grateful for the hope that we have in Him. You know, this is not something that we can do on our own. We need your grace to do that with one another. So I pray that you would help us in that. Change our hearts. Help us to put our needs aside for those for our brothers and sisters. And be with us now as we continue to worship you this morning. I pray that it would be honoring to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.